Today we're looking at Psalm 55, and if you're a person who loves the Lord and if you have a heart for God and you love His Word, you're going to discover that at some point some you thought were your friends are not going to be the friends that you thought they were. And that's the kind of thing that happened to David. It happened to Daniel, it happened to Paul, it happened to Jesus, and it will happen to us. There'll be times when people even are in the church and they appear to be friends, and then they turn out to be everything but your friend. And there's nothing more devastating or hurtful than when someone you thought was your ally turns out to be against you. A husband can turn against a wife can turn against a husband, children turn against their parents, classmates can turn against classmates, co-workers and church members, and even people that are part of a group with you that you really thought cared about you and you were loyal to, they turn against you and it hurts. And that's the kind of emotional treachery that will bring you to tears, but hopefully it'll also bring you to prayer. When David wrote Psalm 55, many had speculated that he wrote it after Absalom, David's own son, and Ahithophel, David's own counselor, had turned against him in 2 Samuel 15. And even though David had sinned, he did not expect these two to abandon him and actually go on the offensive against him, but that's exactly what they did, and it hurt David deeply. More than likely, this is what prompted him to write this psalm. Truth is, when you've been abandoned by your family and when you've been abandoned by your close friends, the only one left to turn to is God. It's a great lesson to learn. When you discover that those close to you have turned against you, you may always pray and ask God for intervention on your behalf and completely trust Him for His help. And we may observe from this superscription that this psalm was written for the choir director, which means it was publicly communicated. It was to be played by the stringed instruments, which means it was a song that was to be sung with beautiful, soft background music. It was a Maskil of David, which means David wrote this to be carefully studied because it presented critical instruction that can have a positive impact on the people of God. In one way or another, probably most of us have lived this psalm. There have been times in all of our lives when those we thought were with us and behind us turned against us. And when that kind of thing happens, we may always turn to the Lord. Look at this. David asked God to listen to his prayer. Look at verse 1 through 3 of Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint and I moan. Because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. Now, one of the things that we see David did when in trouble or when emotionally struggling is he went to prayer to God. He did not go to a bar. He did not go to a casino. He did not go to a counselor. He went to God. And David is not just interested in going just to a normal prayer meeting on earth. He really wants God to personally listen to him in heaven, because these problems were making him restless and distracted. When people turn against you, it can become all-consuming, and one can be distracted from serving God. And because these enemies had a collective voice against him, usually when it comes to enemies, they do not have the integrity to go one-on-one against you, so they form a collective voice. And in other words, enemies do a lot of talking about you. And because these enemies were putting relentless pressure upon him, enemies that have put pressure on David and they have put pressure on us, no matter how religious they appear to be, they join together in their hatred and animosity, and their target is one right with God. And these people were causing David big trouble, and David needed help, so he went to God. His prayer was prompted by deep emotional distress, and it's critical to see that when someone you thought you could trust turns against you, you're probably not able to comfort yourself, but God is comforting him, and if you go to him, he will help. And then we see David describe to God his own condition. Look at verse 4. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness, Selah. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and tempest. And so David's condition was not good. It was not positive. He was hurting, and he told God that this, and here's some descriptions. David's heart was in anguish. This word implies that David was suffering great emotional anxiety. At times he had a hard time sleeping at night. He had one writer said, deep pain of the heart, and he was terribly afraid. These words describe a real external and internal trembling. As brave a man as David was, he had his moments. He did not know who he could trust, and he found himself feeling so alone and afraid. What we know is that he found relief in God. And then he wanted to run away. He was that upset. When things were falling apart, the natural feeling is to run away, almost like fly away. Fly away and get away from the problems and pressures and that which you emotionally feel. And it's very natural, but rarely is it the right thing or spiritual thing to do. Running is not the answer. Praying is the answer. And when you discover someone you thought you could trust is not trustworthy, it will break your heart. You will be afraid, and you'll feel like quitting because the people you thought you could count on proved to be those you could not count on. J. Vernon McGee said in his pastorates he had a couple of staff members who had turned against him. He said they betrayed him behind his back, and he found out. He said nothing hurt him more. And when that kind of thing happens, you feel all alone and helpless. But that is the moment you run to God and commit them to him. He will prove to be your comfort and your help. And then he asked God to confuse his enemy's plans. Look at verse 9. Destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls, and iniquity and trouble are within it. Ruin is in its midst, oppression and fraud. Do not depart from its marketplace. David believed in the sovereign power of God to be able to do some amazing things to the minds of his enemies. According to the first part of verse 9, he believed God could make the minds of his enemies go into total confusion to the point that they were not even communicating anything that would cause them to succeed. There's reasons why David wanted God to confuse his enemies, because these people were the cause of violence and strife in the city. These enemies were ruthless. David knew what these enemies were capable of doing. They appeared to be so gracious, but behind the scenes they were ruthless. And because these people promote their evil both day and night, it's clear that these enemies were within the city, not without. But so there were enemies from within, but those who pursue ungodly and evil things pursue them in the day and in the night. And because these people are deceitful and out to oppress and destroy, these were very deceitful people who pretended to be David's friend and the people's friend. But in all reality, they were deceitful liars who had been planted by Satan with the goal of destroying David and the people. Not talking here about God mocking Philistines. These were supposedly God-fearing Israelites. And then he describes his enemy. Look at verse 12. For it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It's not an adversary who deals insolent with me, then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend, who used to take sweet counsel together within God's house. We walked in the throng. Charles Spurgeon said, none of our enemies are more dangerous and real as false friends. And David's enemies had been equal to David, an equal status bond. The word equal is one that means equal comparative value. So this enemy held a high position at a co-equal level. And he had been a friend to David, an emotional bond. These words used here mean that they were great emotional happiness that came from relationship. There once had been a good relationship here, but because of disloyalty, their friendship had fallen apart. And this enemy had fellowship with David, a social bond. At one time, David had great times and a kindred spirit with one who is now his enemy. And David's enemy had worshipped with David, a spiritual bond. These guys worshipped together. They went to the house of God together. This former close friend knew David, loved God, and he loved God's word, but he turned against David, just like all the rest. As Dr. McGee said, and these are the kind of people who will pray with you and for you, but as soon as your back is turned, they'll put a knife in it. There's nothing more devastating than to have someone close to you turn against you. It can scar you for life, but there's hope and there's help in the midst of it. Turn to God in prayer. And then he asked God to destroy his enemy. Look at verse 15. But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. He basically says back in 15, let death steal over them. Let them go down to Sheol alive, for evil is in their dwelling place and in their heart. This would not have been an easy prayer for David to pray. In fact, if the historical setting has to do with Absalom and Ahithophel, God did directly answer the prayer. Ahithophel ended up hanging himself, and Absalom was killed by Joab and his men. It's a deadly, serious business to turn against one of God's faithful servants because of that servant starts praying for that person's destruction. God may directly answer that prayer. Spurgeon said, let all deceitful professors be warned of their doom. Will come, and the prayer of one righteous can move God to cause it to come quickly. Verse 16 through 18, he says, but I call to God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. David described what he will continue to do. As all this has happened to David, he will keep his focus on God. He would continue to call to God for his deliverance. David would continually call on God about this matter because he knew God was capable of settling this. He would specifically pray about this three times a day. David makes it clear that he would talk with God about this several times a day. He would not just rattle off one prayer and let it go. He would ask God to intervene in this situation morning, noon, and night. He would expectantly wait for God's redemption. David would not take matters into his own hand. He would continue to walk and wait on God. J. Vernon McGee also said, turn your enemies over to God, for the Lord will deal better with them than we ever would. David fully expected God to intervene and answer. And then David describes what he expects God will do. Look at verse 19. God will give ear and humble them. He who is thrown from of old, Selah, because they do not change and do not fear God. My companion stretched out his hand against his friends. He violated his covenant. His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, will cast them down into the pit of destruction. Men of blood and treachery shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. David knew the eternal God would hear and answer. David had the expectation that God would hear and answer all of the prayers he prayed concerning this situation. This is the eternal God who sits on his sovereign throne from all eternity past. He believed this God would hear and answer every one of his prayers. He has the word Selah, which means stop and think about that. And David knew God would turn against those who at one time were right with him. Just because a person who was in God's family does not mean God would not answer this prayer. Just those people had turned against God, and David had violated everything in the relationship, and they had seen that they had went against David and God. These people were who had talked so pious with their words, but their hearts were in war against God and David. And David knew God would sustain one who is righteous. God always will hold up one righteous, no matter who the enemy. And David knew God would bring down the wicked. Those who do these kind of things won't last long. And the practical lessons are these. When we are betrayed by those who turn against us, we may always turn to God. And God has a very special listening ear to those who have been betrayed by one disloyal. When you love God and his word, you may expect some type of relationship defection. And one who turns against one faithful is involved in a serious matter of potential judgment.